Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Hello and welcome to Turner's Take Podcast. I'm Craig Turner. Your host, I'm also author of Turner's Take. You can find me on Twitter at Turner's Take or at turnerstake.com. I am just getting back from the Ag Forum. I mean the Commodity Classic down in San Antonio. We had a great time. It was nice to meet some listeners who stopped by the booth and some clients and those interested in Daniel's Ag Marketing. I picked up a little bit of a cold, but it was great. If you haven't been to San Antonio, I really liked the Riverwalk. That was fantastic. Got to check out the Alamo. The only thing I didn't do was want to go see the Spurs. Seemed like everyone in San Antonio is a Spurs fan, which I guess that's not surprising since it is the only real big professional team in town. Alrighty, so let's get right to it. I'm going to spend a little time in the grain and livestock today, and then we'll try to do another podcast on Friday and then get back to the regular schedule next week. Looks like a big debate, I think, at the Commodity Classic, especially for the grain markets, was acres. There was a lot of disagreement between where they thought the corn acres would be. Ag Forum has corn at 90 and soybeans at 88. We saw a lot of people thinking that soybeans could be higher just because there's not enough credit out there for farmers to plant as much corn acres as they want, so they have to go to a lower input crop, which would be soybeans. There are also a lot of farmers that thought that, you know, with $4 December corn and $10 soybeans, you know, maybe we could see farmers plant as much corn as they possibly could during December. I mean, during planting. So it was. So we'll see. I'm still of the mindset that we gain a little bit more corn and lose a little beans from the ag form if weather's pretty good and farmers can plant what they want. But I don't know. I mean, we're already forecasting a pretty big increase in soybean acres. We're going from 83.5 to 88. So that is 4.5 million, basically 4.5 million adds to soybeans already, and 4.5 million coming out of corn. So I already think that's a big jump. You know, to get, we'll see. You know, and at those prices, we did our price projections when we were down in San Antonio, and we had a dinner down there the night before everything kicked off. And I think with soybeans, with weather issues this summer, we could see runs into 11 and maybe 12. If we get a great crop in South America as a great crop, which looks like they do, we can talk about beans in the $8 range. So just a lot's going to have to, as always, weather's a big part of it, and especially with the soybean market. One thing we talked about that I thought hit home with a lot of people was the concept that soybeans basically have a single point of failure every 6 months on the global export market. Meaning that, you know, every 6 months, we got to make 4 billion bushels here in the United States, and then about 4 billion bushels in South America, and the world consumes all of it. I mean, we do not have a lot of soybeans left, after that. You know, even if we keep 400 million bushels, we still got to produce another 4 billion, you know, the next time around. So having keeping 10% of the total production isn't going to help a whole lot if we have production and choose the following season. So that was pretty much the thought for the why beans could have about $1, $1.50 of weather premium in them, just based on current projections. We're seeing soybeans today, or this week, hitting some support in the charts. If we break through, we could certainly come down, you know, 10, 20, 30 cents. But if we, and I think, you know, we do have the WASDE tomorrow, but between now and, let's say, the end of the month, you know, the only real cat, you know, the big catalyst is, you know, our bearish catalyst. As we continue to see a good South American crop, they start estimates that they're larger, and you know, we see the exports, you know, coming out, and the lineups, you know, of all the ships and things like that. So that's that was my main takeaway, I think, from the, you know, talking to a lot of different producers down there in San Antonio. I think I've had a lot of interest in marketing, probably because of where prices are right now. You know, when corn was $6 or $7, you know, there weren't a lot of people who were looking for marketing advice, because, you know, you just sold it in the summer and you're pretty much, you know, at $6, $7, you're going to make a profit. Now that corn is under $4, it seems to be, you know, guys are really looking for ways to use marketing to help them out, which we certainly can do. Whether it be with, you know, the options or futures markets. Same with the wheat and corn market was like that. I think on the soybean side, it was really just more about protecting the downside, because you really could come down a dollar, a dollar and a half with the big South American crop, and if the soybean crop in the United States stays large. So I still have that bull spread in July Dease corn. I like it. To me, it's a cheap call. I'm going to hold on to it for a while. It's a low margin spread, and if we have planting delays or issues with the corn crop in the summer, I still like that July Dease bull spread. For Kansas City wheat versus Chicago wheat, you know, we've been back and forth on that, but we keep on hitting the support lines. I still like buying support in July Kansas City wheat versus July Chicago wheat and selling it into resistance. I think we can get up into the 20s. You know, probably the best case target for that spread would be 30. Hard to imagine that that spread getting higher than 30 based on where wheat prices are now in the $4 and or without some serious issues to the hard red winter wheat crop. So that's we're still sticking with that. I did put out a note today in the newsletter that we'd be getting out of the last half of our hogs bear spread. The reason being is, even though we're still bearish on hogs, we still see a lot of hogs coming to market. The futures price is about 4 points below the cash index. And as we get closer to the expiration in April, you start to see the cash and the futures. Not always, but a lot of times you'll see those converge. So to be bear spread on that probably doesn't help. You're starting to see that spread reverse in the charts again. You know, I think we made a point and a half or 2 points on the first half of the position and then took a point on the second half. That's great, especially for a spread like that. I can see reversing it, going long April and being short June. You know, we're more bearish on the June or the back months in the hogs right now. We really do see a lot of hogs coming onto the market. And I kind of like that April just for the main fact that it's 4 points below the index, and we do see a convergence there. So it's a bull spread being long April versus June, and I'm not exactly bullish on hogs, but just because of the market mechanics, where that cash index is and where the futures are, I actually kind of like it. So if that gets to a favorable price, I'll put a note out about that. We're also bear spread our August versus October cattle. I still like that cattle on feed report that we had that showed the huge placements number. I think that's going to put a lot of pressure on the cattle market come later in the spring and early the summer. That spread, August 1st, October, if you want to take a look at it, we've been maybe trading lows of -2, August 2 points under October. Highs for the past year have been about a half a point plus 50 cents, meaning August plus 50 cents over October. And quite honestly, from a trader's point of view, I'm really just looking to sell when we hit the upper ranges and then we drop off a buck or a buck 25 or a buck 50 to the downside, covering or covering half, and then just playing that range for the next couple of months. So it's probably a slow one, but I like it. That's how I usually do a lot of our trading with these kind of spreads. You know, we'll put on a full position, but I'll usually take half off at a time and try to range play it for a while. It's called trading it out of position, and that's what I do like to do. If you'd like that kind of stuff, you know, I do that with our spec traders. You can always give me a call here at Daniel's Trading or find me in the show notes. As far as the producers that listen to this, the farmers, you know, as Dease corn gets to $4, we like selling. Unless you think that 90 million acres number is going to keep on coming down, then maybe I would hold off on four. But if you're the mindset that we're, you know, 90 million acres of corn might be the minimum, and we could even add on if we have a good spring, a long window for planting corn, I think $4 would be a good place to make sales. Cutting into this time of year, we can be anywhere between 20 to 25% sold, and then if prices are really good, maybe 30 to 40%. I wouldn't call prices great right now, but $4 corn and new crop is a good way to try to set a floor. So we still like that. For the wheat market, I don't know how much sense it makes to hedge down here. No one wants to sell their wheat, so I would kind of leave it alone. The one thing we do like is if you want to sell cash and then buy a call, I do like that. If you just need to raise capital, it's a good way to play it. And then finally, for the soybean market, the way we were talking about it is we're at the trend line support here. So let's say I'm looking at November beans, and you're looking at this daily chart. And if we break through here, we could sell off 20, 30, 40 cents. So what we've been doing is selling beans if we got to 10:30 in November. But we also have sell stops below the market, like below $10. Because if we closed below there, we'd be through the trend lines, through some significant moving averages. And then you never know, we can go down 50 cents. Don't have to hold that hedge on for the whole, between now and November. I mean, if we did go down to 980 or 950 in beans, I can see covering and then waiting for a summer rally. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw... This is how I think beans can go. We could see some pressure because of all the beans coming out of South America. U.S. exports slows down because there's more exports going to Brazil and for meal for Argentina. We see planting intentions. We still have a high number of bean acres, which kind of keeps the pressure on beans for a while. And then you get some weather issues, whether it be planting or, during pod filling, wherever it may be. That's where you can really see the bean market pick up again. So that's kind of how I see beans going, being pressured in March, seeing how corn planting goes, and just see how many final acres we have in them this summer. So I think, we could come down to 950 in November beans, but I'm not ruling out a run to $11. So when we are hedging or playing that market, I would not be afraid to take off hedges. If you do get a favorable price in the spring, we come down and then looking to sell higher again in the summer. I think that could work out well. But I would definitely, no matter what, you may never get that big rally again. So I would definitely look to put something on. So that pretty much does it for the grains here. I'm going to send out my tables through the website. We had a presentation that Wednesday night before Commodity Classic start. And I just had a bunch of different scenarios based on acres. What if we had 88 million corn, 90 corn, 92 million corn? What if we had, a great yield like last year? If we lost 10 bushels, what would that look like? It's interesting, if corn has 88 million acres and we have a 160 yield, you can start making the case for $5 corn, but definitely not 6, 7, or 8. That would be hard to do just with the current environment. Beans, on the other hand, if you have 86 million acres, 87 million acres, you have a 46, trendline yield or 45 trendline, the trendline yield is 48, so you get a yield of 46 or 45. You can really start making the case for $11 and $12 beans. So it seems like the beans have a little bit more potential this year in terms of if something goes wrong with the crop. So that is going to be it for today. It's a little bit of an abbreviated version, but I'm getting over cold, getting back into the swing of things. We're going to be talking about natural gas and crude on Friday. Also, I think there's some things setting up in those markets, too. If anyone has any questions about what we've been doing here, or you want to contact me directly, please do. Otherwise, have a great day. Glad to be back on the podcast again, and talk to you on Friday.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore, investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.